You're listening to the New City Church podcast. These episodes are recorded live on Gadigal land. Sometimes the audio quality might not be perfect because what you're listening to is a conversation. We don't edit out the chatter, and we think that's what makes it authentic. Wherever you're tuning in from, we hope you find this episode encouraging.
Okay. In December 2021, I became a member of the Cloud Appreciation Society. Did you know that that existed? Look it up, it's true. If you become a member of this society, you receive a certificate that reads, "We do hereby certify that Karina Kraminski joined this society on December 1st, 2021, and will henceforth seek to persuade all who listen of the wonder and beauty of clouds." The Cloud Appreciation Society has a goal to unite cloud lovers all over the world. And this is why I'm here. My ulterior purpose is to get you all into this society. On 1st of December 2021, I made a pledge. I pledge to always have my head in the clouds. I pledge to convince others about the importance of looking up. I pledge to spend lots of time in 2022 staring at the sky. I seek to practice the disciplines of awe and wonder every day. And I pledge to get lost in my thoughts regularly. So we had just been through 2 years of COVID, and I was craving wonder and enchantment and beauty in my life. And I think most people were. Journalist Julia Baird's book, Phosphorescence, was really popular at that time. Did anybody get a chance to read it? Phosphorescence is a word that means light or luminous or giving off light. People were buying this book. That's what we were all craving, light, luminosity. People were craving awe in the midst of a mad pandemic. Philosopher Charles Taylor, in one of the most important books recently written, A Secular Age, famously stated that we live in a disenchanted society. A society that is buffered against magic, spirituality, and faith. But what's interesting, I think, is today people do have a craving for mystery and wonder and magic, and I think even faith. People want to go deeper and want to come alive again in a world that somehow seems a little bit hopeless and flat sometimes. A while ago, around about this time as well, I read a book called Enchantment. Has anybody heard of that? It's written by Catherine May. She's from the UK. Catherine May does not identify as a Christian. And this book has been really popular. She writes about her struggle to find that magical something in life. So I want to quote you something from the book. And I want to read this little quote in full because I think she beautifully captures the longing that she's feeling and the longing that I think a lot of people are feeling maybe in society today. She writes, "This life I have made is too small. It doesn't allow enough in, enough ideas, enough beliefs, enough encounters with the exuberant magic of existence. I've been so keen to deny it, to veer deliberately towards the rational, to cling solely to the experiences that are directly observable by others. Only now, during COVID, when everything is taken away, can I see what a folly this is. I don't want that life anymore. I want what the ancients had, to be able to talk to God. Not in a personal sense, to a distant figure who is unfathomably wise, but to have a direct encounter with the flow of things, a communication without words. I want to feel that raw, elemental awe that my ancestors felt, rather than my tame, explained modern version. I want to prize open the confines of my skull and let in a flood of light and air and mystery. I want to retain what the quiet reveals, the small voices whose whispers can be heard only when everything falls silent." Isn't that beautiful? Can you hear the longing in that? Something going on there. I find her fascinating, her longing for the spiritual fascinating. And where I live in Surrey Hills, I find this in a lot of people who don't identify as Christian. People in our community are searching for God. They're looking for magic, enchantment, wonder, spirituality, and as I said, even faith. When we step outside the four walls of the church and we do some deep listening to our community, we can hear those longings that people have for something more. The reading from the Bible in Colossians chapter 1, starting from verse 15. I'm wondering if somebody can read that out, actually. Would that be okay, just randomly? I think it's Colossians 1, starting from verse 15. Let me see if that's right. Yep. Yeah. Do you want to?
115. Yeah. Let me see. Can I see? Yeah. This is the NIV. Sorry if that is not to your liking. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Great. Thanks so much for that. So that reading from Colossians tells us that we live in a something more universe, an enchanted universe, I like to call it. This beautiful hymn, really, about the universality of Christ. Instead of starting with the importance of the church, starts with the grandeur of creation. And it says repeatedly that Christ is to be found there. His imprint is all over creation. There's a phrase that keeps being repeated there over and over. All things were created through Christ and in Christ. All things hold together in Christ. We live in this enchanted universe because Christ's presence is to be found everywhere. So the beauty of Christ can be found outside the four walls of the church. And only after that proclamation about the universality of Christ does the author then tell us that also Christ is the head of the church. But we start with the universal. We start beyond the church. And we are shown an enchanted universe, luminous with the presence of Christ. Franciscan priest Richard Rohr says this: before the human incarnation of God in Jesus, there was the first and original incarnation through light, water, land, sun, moon, stars, plants, trees, fruit, birds, serpents, cattle, fish, and every kind of wild beast, according to Genesis. The Franciscan theologian St. Bonaventure, building on Jesus' incarnation and St. Francis' love of all nature, saw the traces or footprints of God in everything. The whole world is the incarnation of the God mystery, and indeed the very body of God, as it says in Romans 8. Jesus is the microcosm of the macrocosm, the hologram of the whole, the corporate personality for humanity. In other words, the stand-in for everything and everyone else. And then this passage says in verse 27 that God has chosen to reveal that mystery to us. And that mystery, it says, is Christ in you and Christ in me. So we are luminous with Christ's glory in us within a luminous universe saturated with the presence of Christ. We are luminous beings in a luminous universe. Profound is that mystery. And this is exactly what the people in our community are longing for: mystery, wonder, enchantment, spirituality, and faith. And I wonder, could that longing actually be ultimately a longing for Christ? And could our role as the church be simply to be the luminous ones who point to this luminous mystery around us and say to those around us in our community, there is Christ? And perhaps that's the role of the church, the people of God, to act as signposts and facilitators of the Spirit of God that is at work in an already luminous universe. We work with God, which is different to working for God, as agents and reconcilers of a universe that needs mending. In a world that aches for something more than this. And I think that puts the church in a liminal space, an in-between space. We are pilgrims on a journey, pointing the way to others who are longing for wonder in their lives, while at the same time wrestling with this hunger for wonder and mystery within ourselves. We are pilgrims on that journey together, all of us. So, what is our practice in all of this? What do we do? It sounds simple, but not that easy to do, I think. But what we do is we listen, and we listen deeply. We learn from our First Nations brothers and sisters who encourage us to practice dadiri, which is deep listening. We listen to the longings and the hopes of the community around the church and in our neighborhood. We say that the church is one part of the ecology of the neighborhood in which we are placed, and we are given the role of listening to the voices of the people within the community, because the church exists not for itself, but for the sake of the world, for the sake of others. We want to be good listeners and a faithful presence in the neighborhood, listening to the community and working as reconcilers of a world that needs mending. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the church is called to be a yes to God's earth as a part of its faithfulness. And he highlighted the deep this-worldliness of Christianity. And I really love that, because often people see Christianity as otherworldly. But he's emphasizing the this-worldliness of Christianity. So we are called, for the sake of this world, to participate in the reconciling work of God. We are all sent ones into our local contexts to illuminate Christ. We exist for the world in solidarity with the world. For the world in solidarity with the world. Theologian Amy Plantinga says that precisely when the world feels least like home, the church is to embrace it and remain in solidarity with it. So we are never called to extricate ourselves from the world, but to find Christ in the midst of the rhythms of beauty and terror in the world. And that's not an easy thing to do. So when we say that we must listen deeply to our community, to our neighborhoods, it's more like an art than a five-step program. We live in a context we all know where people are so skeptical and even cynical about the church, and church affiliation is in decline. The church in our society is not at the center anymore, it's at the margins. But this might not be such a bad thing, because we find God in the margins. Plantinga says that Christian existence is eccentric, and she defines that as off-center, which I love. And she says, because we don't find our meaning and existence in ourselves or even in the church or any other creaturely thing, we find our existence and our home in God alone. So together we can ask, where is God in my community and in my neighborhood? And once we start asking that, things actually do begin to get more radical, and radical in the sense that the church is getting back to its proper roots, right? That it is a servant of God, discerning with God for the sake of the world. So what does this listening look like? Where do we hear the voice of God in this luminous universe? Where do you discern Christ in your luminous neighborhood, wherever you are from? In Surrey Hills, where my husband and I serve, we have a small faith community there. We try and do a lot of listening to our broader community. So we hear the voice of God when a transgender woman says to us, "I think Jesus would be someone who would hang out with the likes of me." We hear the voice of God when another neighbor, an atheist, says to us, "I don't want to live forever. I don't want an eternal home. I want to go back to the ground where we came from." We hear the voice of God in another person who says to us, "I think religion actually might ground my spirituality." I hear the voice of God in a friend in the neighborhood who says, "I don't want God as my best friend. I want mystery." Can you hear God in those voices? It's really interesting to maintain a posture of curiosity when we hear words like this. Not judgment, just curiosity, and ask more. And then, how can we point people to this luminous Christ who is universal and everywhere? We hear God in the activity of our local neighborhood center, Surrey Hills Neighborhood Center, where I'm a board member. When in the neighborhood center, we work to build community and resilience and inclusivity in our suburb. We work for that all together. We hear God through our local council, the City of Sydney, that tries to reach out to those who are in need through food security in Surrey Hills and beyond. And there are many other organizations working for the good of the place where we live. Can we discern God there and partner with those places? And then what does it look like to point out to them the presence of Christ in those spaces? What does it look like to have deep conversations about faith and then let them know about the community of God's people, the church, which is luminous with Christ's glory? So we join in this humble work with God, and humble again in the root meaning of the word humus, being close to the ground. Instead of this hyper-spirituality, the church must be known for its humanity and solidarity with the world, and engage in this deep listening for the murmurs of Christ in its local context where it is placed. So this is a call for the church to be humble, to be close to the ground, to be this worldly, as Bonhoeffer stated. And if we see the church in this way, this does not make the church's identity and task any lesser. We are the sent ones, each of us sent into the world to send and receive, and to participate with God for the reconciliation and flourishing of our world in Christ Jesus. That's the true missional church. And we participate in God's reconciling work with curiosity and joy and deep listening and humility and love and courage. And then we leave the growth to God. God will do that work. We are workers together in God's orchard, listening to the community, our ears close to the ground, slowly working with God, in line with God's rhythms, and trusting in God's presence in this place, in our neighborhoods, trusting that God is the one who draws all people towards the God self and into relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit. We are facilitators of God's Spirit, and we create space for God to work in people's lives. We are signposts, a community that points to this enchanted universe and to our enchanted neighborhoods where the church is placed. I want to offer this prayer as a way to end this reflection this afternoon. And it's a prayer from the writer of Colossians. And it's set just before the passage that was read out for us today. And this is from the Message version. And it's a blessing for us. "Be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you'll live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. And as you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that God has for us. Amen.